Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brian Murphy covers the Vikings for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He's back on the bench to talk about some of the problems with the Vikings. How you doing, Brian? Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all of it, all in a bundle.
All above, Scott. Thanks for having me on again.
My man. So I promised my audience that I would do this tonight with the guests that I had on. The Eagles had their problems. I already went through those rigors. Now I'm going to talk about your team, how bad they are. Tell me, I mean, can you even believe that you got this quarterback and this defense and that you were in the NFC Championship game and that this is what you get in return the next year? Because, I mean, I thought they looked awful in Seattle. And if you ask me, now I know a lot of people are saying they still got all these shots and everything like this. The Vikings are winning nothing this year. Let me be clear.
Yeah, I mean, it's trending that way. Even if they run the table here at the end, they got the Dolphins at home. They got to go to Detroit, and they got Chicago at home. Let's say they finish 9-6-1. They're still going to be stuck in that number six seed. They're going to be going on the road. They're not going to be getting a bye. If they're going to get anywhere, they'd have to travel probably through New Orleans or L.A., and that's not going to look too pretty either. This was a season with Super Bowl expectations. You mentioned Kirk Cousins. They signed him, everybody knows, to $84 million guaranteed. They basically have one of the best defenses in the league, but it's on the field too often. And what happened in Seattle was such a disaster offensively, they ended up firing their offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, just yesterday. So now you've got kind of panic in the air. You know, you got a lot of disgruntled fans who are wondering, how did this go off the rails? This was a 13-3 team a year ago that made it to the NFC Championship game. And suddenly they're hanging by their claw, you know, they're hanging by their fingernails onto that number six seed. And you've got a coach now who's just made his seat even hotter by firing his offensive coordinator. I mean, it's dysfunction and dissatisfaction in the Twin Cities.
I got to tell you, when I think of this team, I said this earlier on the show. I cannot believe, I'll be honest with you, that for literally like about 50 hours or more, people have been talking about the offensive coordinator being fired in Minnesota. I have never in my life seen an offensive coordinator get more attention than this guy. And I'll be honest with you, no one's ever heard of him. No one cares about him. I got to be clear. The Eagles, when he was there, I didn't even know he was there. Secondly, I didn't even know he was with the Vikings. I didn't know, and I know you do because you covered a team every day, but no one on the face of the earth cares that much about that guy except his wife and children that he got fired. I thought he got screwed, but I can't believe two and a half days later, we're still talking about him as if he matters. McKenzie got fired and no one even blew their nose. This guy gets more attention. For what? That crappy offense of theirs?
Well, I think what happened is they had a horrible showing on national television Monday night, and it's what, 14 weeks into the season. He's in his first year. And suddenly he's fired. I mean, it looks like a panic move. So I think, and let's be deep in the weeds here a little bit too. It happened on a Tuesday. Tuesday's the deadest day of the week for the NFL. So it was the biggest story of the day yesterday. But you're right. John DeFilippo had never, DeFilippo had never called plays even in Philadelphia. He was just a quarterback's coach. But the work he did with Carson Wentz and the work he ended up doing with Nick Foles to get that team to a Super Bowl and ultimately, you know, dissect the Vikings defense in the NFC Championship game last year made him a high profile coach and a possible head coach candidate. This raises questions though about whether or not this was either Mike Zimmer making a decision on a coach that he didn't want because the front office wanted him because he was young and trendy and was pass happy. And, you know, Zimmer's sort of that old school pound the rock, let's win on defense in a running game. That's not what they signed Kirk Cousins to do, though, and I think that's where the conflict came. It's been the last couple of weeks. The headlines have basically been the head coach is not getting what he wants from his offense, and the tension was already there before the debacle on Monday night. This is the third offensive coordinator,
right,
by the way, that's been here in 4 years under the Zimmer regime, which raises questions about whether – either he's not making the right hires or he's too difficult to work for. But either way, it doesn't look that good.
How do you sit in a room and hire a guy? I don't care in what business. You could be working at McDonald's and you hire a guy and you're at McDonald's and the guy says, you know, I can do the job. It's no problem. Well, what's your experience? Well, I've only, you know, murdered one person, but I'm really good at flipping hamburgers. All right, well, then you're in. This guy, it's like saying, we want you to run the football. We want you to pound the football, but we signed a quarterback for $84 million. What were they thinking putting in a guy that wasn't going to listen to what the coach wanted? The coach wanted to pound the ball and play defense. Why did you bring in Cousins then if you wanted to run the ball all day? Maybe Zimmer's the idiot.
Well, Zimmer's under a lot of pressure right now because obviously he's, again, he had Norv Turner resign 2 years ago in sort of a cloud of conspiracy. Why did that happen? Clash of philosophies. Last year, Pat Shurmur was his offensive coordinator, and he did such a good job with Case Keenum. He ended up getting the head coaching job in New York. He wanted to bring Kevin Stefanski, the guy who's replacing DeFilippo as the offensive coordinator here, who, by the way, was a quarterback's coach for the Vikings who's never called plays either. He's coming in week 14 in the three biggest games of the season, and he's going to be a rookie play caller. Let's see how that works out. But the intrigue involving who's been working for Mike Zimmer, who's gotten hired by Mike Zimmer, is Mike Zimmer making that call? Is it Rick Spielman, the general manager, pushing a coach onto Mike Zimmer? And these are things that are kind of bubbling to the surface right now. And look, there are a lot of jobs on the line right now. I mean, Zimmer and Rick Spielman, the general manager, they're only signed on their contracts through 2019. They're not going to want to have them coming in on lame duck contracts next season. If this team does not make the playoffs this year, there's a good chance that Mike Zimmer could be on his way out, because this would be the second year he's missed the playoffs. And again, we had a 13-3 team last year that we're talking about that went to the NFC Championship game. This doesn't look good, and it doesn't instill a lot of confidence right now when in week 14 you're having this kind of a shakeup.
I wouldn't give that guy a contract right now as far as I could spit into the wind in Minneapolis, and the GM either. I got to tell you, Stefanski at least has been there 13, 14 years. Everybody knows who he is. Like I said, I didn't know anything about John, so that's my bad. But I do know Stefanski, and I think there's some continuity and respect for him, because if they fired everyone else in the building over the last 10 years, which is what they've done, and some big names, how did Stefanski avoid the machete and end up with this job that he's never called a play in his life? How has that guy avoided being fired when everybody else got whacked?
Well, he's always had these low-level positions, you know, quality control, tight ends, you know, running backs. He's had a variety of coaching titles before he became the quarterback's coach. So right now he's sort of the natural succession. If you're going to, you know, think of it as him as the vice president or the speaker of the house, I mean, whoever's left to take charge, that's who he is the quarterback's coach. He's the closest on the staff to Kirk Cousins. But again, he's never called plays. DeFilippo had never called plays. Mike Zimmer's a defensive guy. He was a defensive coordinator at Cincinnati for years and in Dallas. And he's got one of the best defenses in the league playing pretty solid football right now. His offense is a mess and he can't seem to control, what he wants, what its identity should be. And as you said, you know, they didn't bring Kirk Cousins in here to hand the ball off. They brought him in here to throw, and they started strong this season, putting up some gaudy statistics. But again, the knock on him in Washington was he can light it up for fantasy owners, but he cannot win the big game. And right now, the Vikings have not beaten a team with a winning record.
Right.
They've lost badly to the Rams. They've lost badly to Seattle. They've lost badly to Chicago. And they're hanging on to their playoff lives right now.
Listen, they lost to every good team in the league, and they got humiliated by the Bills. The Bills game was definitely
at home.
That was a shock to the system that they lost. That was a complete stunner. I did bet on the Bills that day with 16.5, but they lost 27-6. But every good team they played, you mentioned them, they lost all of them, including the Pats 24-10. And all of the games pretty much were ugly, double digits, this, that. But you know what they're going to do this week? They're going to beat the Dolphins, and they're going to sucker all those fans into believing that they are still legitimate and they got a shot. And then they're going to play the Lions. They'll beat them because the Lions suck. But then they're going to play the Bears in Minneapolis. And I know everybody thinks they're going to beat the Bears, but they're not going to beat the Bears because the Vikings suck.
Well, and I wouldn't even put too much stock on them going into Detroit and winning. They've had some difficult times over the years with the Lions, both at home and especially at Ford Field. A lot of weird things have happened. They've lost the last couple of Thanksgiving games. They've had turnovers there. They've had crazy plays. There's always a little bit of twist when they face the Lions. So even though the Lions are mailing it in the rest of the year, I would not count that as sort of a certain win. I think they're going to take care of business against Miami because they're going to be motivated. Detroit could be a trap game. And Chicago, depending on what they're playing for, I mean, they may already have the division and a bye wrapped up. They may put the junior varsity out there, or they may try to stick it to their division opponents. And the way it's trending right now, too, the Vikings could be in line to play the Bears in that wild card game. So you might actually get a preview of the first wild card game.
And they'll lose. I got to tell you, I'm going to give his grade for this season, the first year of this $84 million deal, a D. They did nothing. He did nothing. He's overrated. This guy, I got to give him credit. He and his agent are geniuses. The money that he fleeced from Dan Snyder and from the Vikings for being as average as he is. He was average at Michigan State. He's been even duller in the NFL. I don't care what anybody says. That guy in a primetime game, in a big game, in a playoff game, in any game that matters is going to lose. That's all there is to it. He is the most overpaid, overrated quarterback I think I've ever seen in my life. And that's me being nice. I mean, honestly, because every time I see him, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make some money tonight. I'm going against this guy, the guy that never wins a big game. I'm sorry I'm so mean during the holidays, Brian, but when I watch that guy with the money he makes, I want to puke. I mean, because if you make $84 million, you need to be a rock star, okay? When you make that money and you're as average as he is, it's almost an insult to fans and everyone, and a guy that pays, works his ass off all week and pays $150 to go watch the Vikings play, and all they do is disappoint him. I got to run, Brian. Great stuff, though. Enjoy the game against the Dolphins. I think it'll be the last game you win.
All right, thanks, Scott, for having me on. Always a pleasure.
All right, Brian Murphy, our good friend from the Pioneer Press in St. Paul.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.